welcome everybody to another edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. And that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about how to rise above circumstances of life. We all go through circumstances, adverse circumstances. They're not pleasant to go through. None of us get in our beds at night and offer up our prayers and say, Lord, please bring an adverse circumstance into my life. We like smooth sailing. We like things to go well. We like things to work. We like just life to be easy. But that's not the world we live in. It is filled with trials and tribulations. I think education, you know, if it's a good education, what you're learning as a student is how to problem solve. Why? Because we're facing problems all the time. We need to know how to think through the issues that come our way. And that's why it's so vitally important for us to know the grace of God, because the grace of God provides the framework to solve the problems that come into our lives. And there's just going to be hundreds of them and thousands upon them of them. If you're kind of going through a time of ease and life is good, you just look back just a few weeks ago and you've just come out of a problem. And if you look ahead, there's probably another one coming on its way. Yeah. So that's just the life we live in. But this grace of God, knowing the love of Jesus Christ, knowing that we are children of God, knowing that we have been forgiven of all of our sins, knowing that we've been declared right in God's sight, knowing that we live in this new covenant, that's what enables us to power through those problems and to actually rise above and experience peace in the midst of those circumstances.
Yeah.
So that's what this broadcast is all about. It's an opportunity to talk about the grace of God and how that grace of God practically intersects with our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question or a situation that you would like to talk about, go ahead and call right now.
1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast in the U.S. or Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. Guys, a question from Kevin. This is kind of an interesting thing. He says, my brother is a member of a group that believes people who belong to Yahweh are saved, that if you love God, you will keep his commandments, all 613 laws. Kevin writes, here is what my brother wrote to me. Yeshua did everything pertaining to what is written about him to do, and that was to wash any past sins, I said past sins, away. He did not die for our future sins. Why? Because once you come to the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for sins, according to Hebrews 10:16. In other words, Kevin, you must repent of your past sins and then sin no more, and it is possible not to sin, according to John 3:9. Therefore, Kevin, you must follow his example right now and live a sinless life. Now, that's what Kevin's brother wrote to him. So Kevin's question is, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this. You know, the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, I have good news, which will be joy to your heart. Listening to that is not good news. There's nothing good in that. If I'm supposed to live up to not only the Ten Commandments, but the 613 others that were given to the people of Israel, I'm just doomed. I can't do that. I can't live up to that. And as far as somebody saying that, you know, we can live a sinless life, I've yet to meet that person.
Right.
There's only one that did that, and his name was Jesus. And that's what enabled him to step into our shoes and take our sins upon himself and offer forgiveness and new life. So what God wants for us is not a, you know, not a self-improvement program, not trying to make ourselves better in God's sight. What he wants is for us to die in Christ, to be buried in Christ, to say goodbye to that old guy, and be raised up to walk in the newness of life.
Yeah.
That's what God wants, and that's the good news that God has called us to.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, Bob, we have a very, very special guest on the line, and he's on line 5 if you want to pull him up.
I do, and we do have a very special guest, and we're excited to welcome Bart Miller to our broadcast today. Bart, welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, we are thrilled about this, Bart. And for our listeners, if you don't know who Bart Miller is, he is the lead singer of Mercy Me. He is the author of the book Hurt and the Healer, along with our good friend and colleague Andrew Farley. And, Bart, we are offering this book to our listeners this month for a gift of any amount to our ministry, and we're excited to do that. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book, and we're thankful that you could come on board and talk about that with us today.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it. I'm thrilled you guys are supportive of the book, too. I think Andrew is doing something. He's just got a message that for some reason, somehow, the church I grew up in, I didn't hear the grace message the way that I read it when I first read the Naked Gospel, and just changed my life. And it's just an honor to be able to. I think it originally started, I tweeted about how much that book changed my life. We became good friends, and that book kind of transformed my view of the gospel when writing for the album, The Hurt and the Healer. And so the more we talked, the more we realized, man, it'd be incredible to try to write a book together. And it was an honor. It was a blast to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, Bart, it was a couple of years ago. I went out to Lubbock, Texas, and Andrew and I were talking, and I actually went out there to ask him to serve on our board of directors, which he was very excited to do. And I just, threw out a question, Andrew, what's the latest? What's going on? And it was about that time that you and Andrew were tweeting back and forth, and the idea of writing the book was starting to develop. And so I feel like I've kind of been a part of it all along. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, like
it. Yeah, I'm excited to see this come out. You talk about the grace message, that you had never really heard that or been taught that in all of your years. What was it about the grace of God that really struck you as you were reading through Andrew's book, The Naked Gospel? What really ministered to you that kind of turned the light on in your life, your understanding?
What ministered to me is what I realized that I guess I kind of missed growing up. I grew up in a great church, and there's a lot of foundational stuff in my life that I'm grateful for what the church instilled in me. But somewhere along the way, especially for me and the way I was raised, our church, I don't think there's a church anywhere that would ever call it works, but looking back, there sure seemed to be a laundry list of things to do to get closer to God or to become a better Christian. Or just to, if everything didn't seem to be firing on all pistons, there would be just a list of, you need to have more quiet times, you need to do this, maybe you should give more, maybe you should witness more, and all this kind of stuff. And I never thought of it as worked, but I know that I responded that way. My whole life I tried to be the overachiever and tried to not just do the things they suggested I should do, but do them as better than anyone else. And and truthfully, I probably started Mercy Me because of that mentality. It's just, man, if I do it, I want to do it best my ability. Which there's nothing wrong with that, but when your motive is to hopefully get approval from God or to get an inch closer to God versus it being an overflow of understanding and trusting what God's grace is and what he did for you, those are vastly different. And I treated it as if it was going to get God's approval or his attention. And for some reason, I came into Christ when I was 13, but somehow missed that. From that time that I called his name, I've had his attention and never lost it. Never was taught that. Just taught that I had to be careful not to lose it. And almost like it's the boogeyman, be on your best behavior and stuff like that. And I'd say one of the messages in the Naked Gospel, I don't know if he said it word for word, but what I took away from it was the idea that there's nothing that I can do, good or bad, to make Christ love me any more than he already does right now. And it's a simple message, but it's as if, I was 40 years old, like I'd never heard it before. And after years and years of trying my hardest to be the best at what I'm doing, and surely God's pleased with me, it's like for the first time I almost see Christ stand there yelling at the top of his voice saying, I've been pleased with you since the day you called my name, and I've never stopped.
Isn't that exciting?
And Yeah, and it's like, why am I getting this now? And where was this the rest of my life? And so it's that idea of not so much trying to please God, but just learning how to trust Him. You know, and the more I talk about it, and the more I talk to people about it, the more I realize I genuinely believe that 99% of the church's issues is simply a trust issue. Somewhere along the way, we don't trust what God has done for us, or trust that He's real, or trust that we're worthy of it, or trust that He did it for us, maybe for a lot of other people, but it falls into some line of trust. Yeah. And when things change is when we just kind of give up and surrender to the fact that, God, I trust that You are very real, that You have my best interest, that the Spirit will not leave me no matter how sorry I can be. And when you trust that that is very, very real, and that it applies to you, and you become a kid with a power tool, you become dangerous. And that's what I feel like. I turned 40, and all of a sudden I feel like I've heard the gospel for the first time.
Isn't that amazing? Our stories are similar. I came to Christ at 13 and mm-hmm. was really moved by what Christ accomplished for me on the cross. You know, I knew that I needed Jesus. But as soon as I prayed the prayer, my whole mentality became this: I want to be God's guy. You know, I want to prove to Him that I'm worthy of what He did, what He accomplished. And so it became this big self-improvement program. I wanted to get better, and you just can't do that. Eventually, I just threw up my hands and said, Lord, the only thing I can do well is sin. And that's not going to get me too far in life.
Right.
And so I need to know some truth. And same thing happened to me, Bart. It's like I heard the gospel for the first time. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I bet I've preached it for years that it's something you can't earn, it's something we don't deserve, and all this kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, it was so robotic and just automatic that I just never stopped and realized, man, all I've been trying to do is earn this. And I'll never forget I did everything that religion told me to do, and I tried to do it as best as possible. I tried to get the high score in every part I could, and all along the way, no matter how many records I sold or how many concerts we sold out, I felt like I was, my family at times was just hanging on by a thread. And I was like, how is this possible? How is everything, I'm doing everything right, but there are things that are so important to me that just don't seem like they're hanging on at times. And all of a sudden realized that my identity was completely mercy me. And had a dear friend of mine named Rusty Kennedy from Indiana that, he came to me, and he was the one that said, you need to read The Naked Gospel by Andrew Farley. You need to read The Cure by John Lynch. And he said, they're going to change your life. And,
wow.
And so I started reading those, and it just felt like the first time I ever picked up a book and read that message. And I think the best news of all is that I realized what my identity is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside of me. And all of a sudden, I don't need mercy me. I don't need these things that I thought I couldn't live without. And it doesn't mean I'm quitting. It means that I'm probably healthier now than I ever have been, to where mercy probably has a longer road ahead of them because, if this thing fell apart tomorrow, I probably wouldn't lose sleep over it because it's not who I am. And there's no pressure to perform, or there's no pressure to please. There's no pressure to worry about. I don't have anxieties worrying about what other people think, because I say it in a good way. My wife and our little motto is that we just don't care anymore. And I mean that in a positive way. Like,
right. I understand.
Exactly. I'm not concerned with what people think I should be. Instead, I just, and I just want to be free in Christ. And I want to, I think a dear friend of mine has a book coming out. And he, one of the things he says is that Christ came and was perfect so that we could be imperfect, so that we could rest in the fact that we won't get it right, but somebody did, and on our behalf. And it's the biggest exhale I've ever had in my life is what it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you are listening to Basic Gospel. Our special guest today is Bart Millard. We're certainly grateful for him joining us on today's broadcast. We're talking about his book, The Hurt and the Healer. It's available to you, our listeners, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. If you have been listening to Bart, you can sense his passion and his just joy in his voice and what he has learned about the grace of God. And all of that has been put to paper in this book. And you can read about the joy that he now has in Christ. And so we want to put that in your hands. And All the information on how to get a hold of it is available at our website, basicgospel.net, or by calling 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828.
Yeah, Bart, a couple of Bobs on the program today. I'm Bob Davis, and I again want to welcome you to the broadcast. For many years, as part of this ministry, it has been my heart to have a conference with Christian music writers and Christian music bands to basically teach the fullness of God's grace. And because I've heard so much in Christian music of exactly what you went through in your earlier life. And so to hear you, that you have come into this understanding and have made it a part of your life and in your music, that is such a thrill to my heart. And so I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. It's pretty exciting. At the same time, it's like, it's kind of wrecked me at the same time. Like, my kids laugh at me because their songs, I guess I was guilty of assuming that everybody at least got part of it right. And I mean that in a sense, it was almost a tolerance for, well, they kind of, and there is some grace to where I can accept the fact that people get the simplicity of the gospel on some level, but there are songs that I'll catch myself on the radio singing, and all of a sudden I'm changing the lyrics because it's a little off, or even in some worship songs and some hymns, and it's like, and I'm like, man, and you know, and the grace that God showed me allows me to say, you know what, I never say anybody's flat wrong. I try to hopefully say they're on a journey because that's what I've been on.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, God showed favor for me to minister for many years without what I would say getting it. But at the same time, hopefully I didn't wreck anybody's life. but at the same time, it's like I see these songs. I'm like, man, you know, I guess I sense the importance of almost, I don't even know if it's fine tuning, but there are very small parts about messages and songs that just, if they were slightly tweaked, Or, you know, we'd have a big problem with complicating an incredibly simple gospel.
Right.
Boy, I think that's spot on, Bart. Yeah. I mean, we really do try to complicate just about everything when it really gets down to what you were talking about earlier, a matter of trust. That's all God has called us to. Are we going to trust the fact that Jesus took away all of our sins? Or are we going to try to add to that work? Are we going to trust the fact that he's alive living in us and has promised to lead us in life? Are we going to try to add to that as well? So it does get down to that idea of trusting the Lord, trusting in his finished work on the cross. There was something that you and your friend were talking about, the buddy that introduced you to Andrew's book, The Naked Gospel. You were talking about the fact, is this gospel worth dying for?
And
I was very fascinated by what you had to say in the interview that's recorded at the beginning of the book. For many years, those were just words to you, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I was the kid that sat in church that thought there was something wrong with me because, you know, we'd have missionaries that would come through and speak on Sunday nights or whatever, and they would, or that we'd sing songs. There'd be some passionate revival week where it would, made reference, this is something worth dying for. And I thought there was something seriously wrong with me because there was no way that anything I was seeing, whether it's a young age or at 25 or 30 years old, that was worth dying for. It was worth making a career on because I was good at it. It was worth writing songs for. It was worth paying bills because of. But dying for was like, I mean, my family's worth dying for. What I'm hearing in the church was not worth it. And I'll never forget my friend who was a youth pastor for years until he was transformed by a similar message and just couldn't justify things that his church was teaching. And so he kind of stepped away and started his own church that just preaches a grace message. And he was our very first church camp we did 20 years ago. And he stepped back in my life about 2 years ago. We stayed in touch, but he came out on tour, spent the weekend on the bus with me, and he was talking with me. He said, man, he goes, and we had not talked about this at all. And he just told me, he goes, man, he goes, I was the guy that said this is worth dying for. I wore the T-shirts, you know, all those kind of stuff. They would say this kind of stuff. And he goes, and it wasn't until probably 2 years before, he goes, that I can say that for the first time it was. And he goes, and the difference was, and this is what happened to me too, is the day that it sunk in of what Christ did. And I think it's not even just what Christ did. I think the day that it sunk in that I could sabotage, I could spend the rest of my life sabotaging everything, anything good in my life if I was capable of it. And that I could ruin everything about my life. I could run from God from here to eternity, and his grace would still be enough. And I'm not saying that I'm going to do that. I'm not saying, hey, well, knock yourself out. I'm just saying that if I were capable of being the worst possible human being on earth, if I have come to know Christ, which I have, His grace is still enough. And I just, that, you know, I think that for a while, because of the lack of trust, I've done things over and over just to almost push the limit, waiting for God or anyone else in my life to say, okay, that's enough. I'm out, you know, for whatever reason, when he came to me and said that, when I think the best news I ever heard through all of that was, I can't screw this up. And the second that hit me, the second that I realized that God is looking at me saying, I am in this for the long haul, you cannot shake me, that we are stuck together, I am yours and you are mine. And I don't know, just something clicked that day to where I began to trust in what he did was very real, to where all of a sudden, you know, I'm done telling people to stop sinning. I'm going to try to show them what their identity in Christ is, and that is absolutely worth dying for. Not only that, like, I believe there will come a day where I may die for it, because it changes everything. All of a sudden, I believe for the first time I have a message that not only people need to hear, but that people long to hear. If you can convince people that Christ is smitten for them the way that they are, and that there's no laundry list of things you've got to do better, there's no 12-step program. There's no, if you have a good life for a year, you get a little bit more of God. That the way that you are, if you just trust that what he did is for you is real, and that he is passionately and madly in love with you, all of the other stuff will begin to fall into place, instead of, I better do all these things first so that God will actually approve and accept and actually choose to love me. It's that whole, you don't clean up before you get in the shower kind of idea. And so it just clicked one day, and all of a sudden, this thing that I've made a great career of and a successful career of, I feel like in the last year and a half maybe, the light just switched on to where, after all these records sold and all these songs written, that, you know, the next album we make, you know, after Hurt and the Healer on, will feel like it's the first, Hurt and the Healer is probably the first song that I wrote to where it was like, okay, it's on now, I get it. Or I'm getting it, I have a better way to say it, and that, you know, and that this is something worth dying for.
Well, the lyrics of that song are just incredible. I love the line, you take my heart and breathe it back to life when the hurt and the healer collide. Mm-hmm. You just bring Christ down to everyday life. You let us know that Jesus is interested in us right where we are. And that is a powerful, powerful lyric and an amazing truth. You go out on tour and you have thousands of people come to concerts, and, you know, they're very interested in what you have to say because, mm-hmm. you know, in their eyes, you've made a grade of A as far as your Christian life is concerned. But how do you see them respond today in light of this not new message, but new message to you that you're communicating about the grace of God?
I think the response has been really overwhelming, actually. I think, and I've wondered why. One, hopefully they can sense that there's a passion I think is missing in my life for a long time. And I think also, you know, we have some lifelong fans that have been with us. We've been a band for 20 years, and I think to see any musician, any pastor, any Christian DJ or anything, to see them do what they do for so long and then all of a sudden step in as if they just got started, that something has ignited them, that there's this newness about an age-old message, it's got to be infectious for people that are watching. I hope it is. And so I think that's a lot of it. I mean, the response has been awesome. What's been amazed me, I don't know why, because it did the same thing to me, was how such a simple message has been overlooked by so many.
Absolutely.
Every night I get more responses on Twitter and Facebook after a show of what I've said versus anything that I've sung.
Isn't that interesting?
Because I kind of talk about this stuff that's going on in my life, and people are like, how did I miss that? How did my church miss that? I have a great theory. I think that religion sometimes, we like to leave cliffhangers. We want to complicate it so you come back next Sunday.
Well, Bart, we're going to have to give a cliffhanger here. We're about out of time. But I know our listeners can feel your passion and your joy, and we just pray that many of our listeners will get a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. It will revolutionize your life, I guarantee you, as you learn the grace of God. All the information on how to get a hold of it is available at our website, basicgospel.com. Bartonworks.net.
Bart, such a pleasure to have you on. God bless you as you continue, my friend. We're out of time. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.